Welcome to a new deep dive from AI Unraveled. This is the podcast created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior software engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
Great to be diving in again.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, if you're finding these deep dives valuable, please take a second to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Definitely.
So today we're doing something a bit different. Mm-hmm. We're zeroing in on just one day, April 11th, 2025. We've got this fascinating sort of chronicle, a log of AI innovations from that single day.
Right. And the idea is to use that snapshot to quickly get a feel for the big advancements, the key trends that popped up.
Exactly. Give you a sharp, insightful overview of what happened basically in just 24 hours.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. What can shift in just one day in AI?
Isn't it though?
Yeah, this log, it shows everything from, you know, new models being developed, foundational stuff, right through to AI popping up in everyday tools, and, well, even some of the challenges, the growing pains that come with moving this fast.
Okay, let's unpack this then. First up, OpenAI. Sounds like they had a lot going on. GPT 4.1 is apparently on the way.
Yeah, that's the successor to GPT 4.0. The big deal is enhanced multimodal capabilities, processing audio, vision, text, all in real time, supposedly even better.
Real time. Wow. And smaller versions, too. GPT 4.1 Mini and Nano.
Exactly. That move towards a whole family of models is really interesting. It points towards, you know, getting AI onto more devices.
Like phones or smart home stuff.
Precisely. Things with less processing power. And that multimodal part, well, it opens doors for much more intuitive interactions. Think real-time video call translation that actually understands the visual context.
Or like museum guides that know what you're looking at.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Seamless interaction.
And there's more on the reasoning side, too. New models called O3 and O4 Mini.
Right. They were spotted, apparently, in the web version of ChatGPT. Some chatter about them launching maybe even next week.
That's incredibly fast.
It is. It shows how quick these development cycles are getting. Seeing them in the web version is like a little peek behind the curtain, you know, their testing process.
But there's a heads up, too. Sam Altman mentioned capacity challenges recently.
Ah, yes. That's the flip side. So we should probably expect maybe some service hiccups, slowdowns, that kind of thing as they roll out these powerful new models.
Good to know. It takes massive resources, right?
Huge. Managing that infrastructure while meeting demand is, well, it's a constant juggling act for these big AI labs.
Okay, let's switch gears completely. This next story really jumped out at me. A shopping app claimed it was AI driven.
Oh, the one using human workers?
In the Philippines, right. It wasn't really AI doing the heavy lifting.
Well, that's the story. It brings up some, you know, pretty big questions about transparency, trust, all that.
So the app was sold as this universal cart automating online buying with AI.
Yeah, that was the pitch.
Yeah.
But it seems when the AI couldn't actually complete the purchase, which sounds like what happened a lot, they had this hidden call center doing it manually.
Wow. Just secretly filling in.
Pretty much. And the company, Sangjur, is facing some serious legal trouble now.
I saw that. Securities fraud, wire fraud, potentially 20 years for each. Plus the SEC is involved.
Yeah, it's significant. It wasn't just like puffery. It was a fundamental misrepresentation of how the thing actually worked.
It really makes you question those AI-powered labels, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We need to be more critical. And it blurs the line, you know, when is it tech assisting humans versus when is something genuinely AI driven? What does that label even mean anymore?
Mm. Okay, moving to something definitely AI focused.
Yeah.
ChatGPT got a new memory feature.
Ah, yes, this feels like a pretty logical step, making interactions feel more continuous, more helpful.
Right, so it can remember stuff from past conversations.
That's the goal, more personalized responses, because it has context. It builds on earlier updates, trying to make it more, well, conversational.
And it's rolling out to Pro and Plus subscribers first.
Initially, yes. And interestingly, not in Europe straight away, likely navigating those stricter AI regulations there.
Privacy is obviously a big thing here.
Huge.
So OpenAI is giving users control, right? You can turn it off.
Yeah, you can disable the memory feature in settings or use temporary chats, kind of like incognito mode in a browser or similar to how Google Gemini handles it. Those controls are vital.
Definitely. You need to feel comfortable.
Right. So the aim is a more intuitive assistant that learns from you, but crucially, you manage that learning process.
Okay, let's talk Apple. Sounds like they've hit some internal snags with their AI push. Chip budget disagreements.
Yeah, reports suggest some internal debate over resource allocation, specifically for chips needed for AI. It highlights how seriously they're taking generative AI now, though. They're investing heavily to catch up.
Even Apple faces these kinds of organizational hurdles, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in a field moving this fast, it shows how strategically vital they see AI.
And there are also issues with Siri. Leadership conflicts affecting the new capabilities.
Apparently so. Disagreements between key leaders, Robbie Walker and Sebastian Marinomez, reportedly led to the project being split.
Which caused accuracy problems, like nearly a third of requests had issues.
That was the report, which is, you know, pretty significant. It underlines how hard it is to build genuinely reliable voice assistants.
So Craig Federighi, the software chief, stepped in. Reorganize things.
Correct. He shifted responsibility for the enhanced Siri rollout away from John Jane Andrea, who oversees AML, to Mike Rockwell, who heads up ARVR. It signals a real determination to get Siri right this time.
A renewed push.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense. Shows they're serious, even with the bumps.
Definitely committed to being a major player despite those earlier hurdles.
Now, someone who used to be at a major player. Mira Murati, former OpenAI CTO, she's launching a startup, Thinking Machines Lab.
And the funding goal is,
wow,
get this, trying to raise over $2 billion in seed funding.
It's staggering, isn't it? If they pull it off, it'd be one of the biggest seed rounds ever. Maybe the biggest.
Has to be up there. Compared to Ilya Sutskever's SSI funding, it really puts it in perspective. It really does. Speaks volumes about investor confidence in Murati, given her background with ChatGPT and all.
And she's pulling in talent, too. John Schulman, who co-led ChatGPT development at OpenAI, he's joined her.
Right. So a really high-caliber team, even though we don't know exactly what they're building yet.
The stated goal is pretty broad.
The bank's broad.
Make AI more widely understood, customizable, and generally capable.
Yeah, still vague. But the combination of Murati, Schulman, and that level of funding, it's got everyone's attention. It really makes you wonder, you know, where the next big breakthroughs will come from, these focused startups or the established giants.
Good question. For listeners, it just shows the intense excitement, the sheer amount of money pouring into AI right now, and the trust in people like Murati.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shifting to a platform many people use daily, Canva. They're adding more AI features.
Yeah, Canva's been integrating AI quite effectively. Now they're adding things like image generation, which seems like a natural fit.
And interactive coding. Canva code? That sounds interesting.
It does. Developed with Anthropic, apparently. Lets you create little interactive mini apps using prompts, sort of democratizing that kind of creation.
Plus AI photo editing tools and even spreadsheet features. Canva sheets.
Right, with things called Magic Insights and Magic Charts, they're clearly aiming to embed AI across their whole suite, make it more powerful.
And integrations with HubSpot, Google Analytics, feels like they want to be more of a central hub.
That seems to be the strategy. Make design and content creation easier, more efficient, powered by AI without users needing deep AI expertise. It shows how AI is getting woven into the fabric of existing tools.
So if you're using Canva for work or projects, these could be pretty useful additions.
Could be a real boost for productivity and creativity, yeah.
We also touched on ChatGPT's memory earlier, but there was another update noted for April 11th about its long-term memory.
Ah, right. This seems like an evolution of the memory feature we discussed, moving beyond just the current or recent conversation.
So it can recall info from all past conversations.
That's the idea. To build a truly personalized assistant that learns your preferences, interests, needs over time across all your chats automatically.
Automatically.
Okay.
And this is also rolling out to Plus and Pro users first.
Yes, initially. Plans for team, enterprise, and education accounts later.
And again, user control is key. You can manage it, tell it to forget things.
Absolutely. That seems non-negotiable. You need that control, that ability to say, hey, forget that specific thing. Essential for trust.
So it's aimed to be more personalized, learning from everything, but you still hold the reins.
Exactly. A more helpful assistant, hopefully, without feeling intrusive.
Okay. Something potentially very useful for content creators.
Yeah.
New AI tools for turning YouTube videos into blog posts. SEO-optimized ones, too.
Yeah. This could be a big time saver, repurposing content efficiently.
How does it work, generally?
Well, the process involves tools like Notebook LM to grab the transcript. Then you figure out your SEO keywords, write a detailed prompt for the AI.
And it generates a draft blog post.
Pretty much. You still need to edit it, add visuals, make sure it flows well, but it does the initial heavy lifting of transcription and drafting.
Definitely helps maximize the value of video content, get more mileage out of it, improve visibility.
Right. It's leveraging AI to streamline that workflow. Makes you think how AI might reshape content strategies overall.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing for AI on this particular day. A study came out showing AI models still struggle with complex software debugging.
Ah, yeah, that's an important reality check. Despite incredible progress in generating code, fixing really tricky bugs is still hard for AI.
Microsoft tested 9 LLMs, including Claude 3.7 Sonnet, right, on hundreds of real-world bugs.
Yes, from a benchmark called SWE Benchlight. And even the best one, Claude 3.7 Sonnet, only solved about, what, 48.4%? Less than half.
So nearly half the time it failed. Why is that?
Well, the study suggested a key reason is the training data. LLMs haven't been trained enough on sequential decision-making data, meaning recordings of how humans actually debug. The step-by-step process, the trial and error, the intuition. That kind of data isn't usually captured in standard code data sets.
That makes sense. Debugging isn't always linear.
Not at all. It requires nuanced reasoning, system understanding, things AI isn't quite there with yet, so human expertise is still critical.
So AI is a tool, an assistant maybe, but not replacing the human debugger for complex stuff.
Not yet, certainly. It reinforces that human skills remain vital in software development.
Looking bigger picture at societal impact, there was a survey of thousands of researchers. What were their expectations for AI?
It was quite nuanced, actually. Over 4,000 researchers surveyed, published in Nature. They see huge potential, in healthcare, education, climate science.
The positives.
Right. But they also have significant concerns: inequality, misinformation, ethical problems. Job displacement wasn't mentioned in the outline, but often comes up too.
So a double-edged sword, basically.
Yeah, very much so. The scientific community seems pretty aligned on that: massive opportunities, but also serious risks that need careful governance and thought. It's not all hype or all doom.
A balanced view, which is probably realistic. We need to manage the downsides.
Exactly. Proactive solutions are needed.
And speaking of downsides, or at least challenges, energy consumption. A report warned AI data center energy use could quadruple by 2030.
Yeah, that's a stark warning. The demand for training these huge models and then running them for inference, it's incredibly power hungry.
Quadrupling is massive.
It is. The report called for countries to really plan for the infrastructure needs and the environmental impact. We can't ignore the footprint.
So the sustainability of AI is becoming a really critical question.
Increasingly so. We need more energy-efficient hardware, smarter algorithms, sustainable power sources for these data centers. It's a major factor for the long term.
Okay, but on a more positive data note, MIT researchers developed a new way to protect privacy in AI training data.
Yes, this is really promising. The challenge is training AI on sensitive data, thinking medical records, financial info, without leaking that private information.
Which is crucial for using AI in those fields.
Absolutely. And this MIT technique apparently does it without adding much computational overhead while significantly reducing leakage risks. That's the sweet spot.
So this could become standard practice.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in regulated industries like healthcare and finance, it could unlock a lot more AI applications safely.
Now, this next one sounds almost like science fiction. Google's AI co-scientist solved a decade-long superbug mystery in 48 hours.
Incredible, right? Researchers at Imperial College London had been working on understanding antibiotic resistance in certain superbugs for 10 years.
10 years of human research.
And Google's AI tool, built on Gemini 2.0, apparently replicated their main hypothesis and proposed four new plausible theories in just 2 days.
How does it even work, co-scientist?
It's described as a multi-agent system. So different AI agents collaborate.
Yeah.
Some generate hypotheses, others critique them. They run tournaments to pick the best ideas.
Like a little AI research team.
Kind of. And then a specialized agent refines the winners, and there's a meta review process. It's quite sophisticated.
And notably, it doesn't rely on the usual AI training methods, like gradient descent or reinforcement learning.
Not in its current setup, according to the report. It seems to be leveraging the core reasoning and judgment capabilities within the LLMs themselves. They're evaluating and critiquing ideas based on their internal knowledge.
So the LLM is acting as both the brainstormer and the peer reviewer.
Essentially, yes. This iterative process of proposing, debating, refining, it seems incredibly effective for accelerating discovery. It's a powerful example of AI not just processing data, but generating genuinely novel scientific insight.
Wow, that really shows the potential to speed up breakthroughs.
Dramatically speed them up, yeah.
Okay, wrapping up the day's news. There were a bunch of other things happening on April 11th, too. Just rapid fire.
Go for it. It was a busy day.
Ilya Sutskever's SSI partnered with Google Cloud for TPU chips.
Right, for their superintelligence goals.
Google adopted Anthropic's Open Model Context Protocol.
Good for interoperability.
Canva launched Visual Suite 2.0, even more AI. They had their Canva Create event.
Consistent updates from them.
OpenAI filed a countersuit against Elon Musk.
The legal battles continue.
And OpenAI open sourced something called BrowseComp, a benchmark for AI web browsing.
Useful for measuring progress there.
ByteDance announced SeedThinking V1.5, a big 200 billion parameter reasoning model.
Another powerful model entering the scene.
xAI made Grok 3 available via API with pricing,
making their models accessible.
And a company called Writer launched AIHQ for enterprise AI agents.
Focusing on business applications, sure.
Seriously, just one day, it really drives home how fast this field is moving.
It's dizzying sometimes. Foundational research, new products, legal fights, ethical debates, infrastructure challenges, all happening simultaneously.
Absolutely. This deep dive really highlights that pace. Makes you wonder which of these seeds planted on April 11th will grow into the biggest trees, you know?
It does. We'll definitely keep tracking it all.
And before we sign off, just a quick reminder about Etienne Newman's AI-powered Jamkec app. If you're looking to get certified in high-demand fields.
Like cloud, finance, cybersecurity, healthcare, business. Lots of areas covered.
Yeah, the app uses AI to help you master the material and ace those certification exams, over 50 of them, I think. Check out the links in the show notes.
It's a really practical way to use AI for your own career development. Stay ahead of the curve.
Definitely worth a look.
Mm-hmm.
So our final thought for today, with AI evolving this quickly, how is our very understanding of intelligence, both artificial and human, going to keep changing in the years ahead?
A big question to chew on.
Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Don't forget to check the show notes for the Jamtech app link.